Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Faber and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening and welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Faber, sitting with Captain Ricky Popor, and Captain Scott Shank is in the house.
That's me. Thanks for holding down the fort next week,
boys. We're just going to start calling you Captain Grumpy, though, man. Oh, my gosh. Can you get on anybody else at Comanche Cove?
Well, damn, when I get... when the hose is only a foot long, you try to clean the fish cleaning tables off, and you go home with
could
fish
you reach
guts.
It?
Hell
you
no, I can't reach it.
I told him. I said, if you weren't 5'3", and did 350...
Damn, I ain't never seen a fish cleaning table with a foot-long hose. What the hell is that
he
all about?
Back from cleaning fish.
I'm soaking ass wet.
He's soaking wet. And I'm like... And he's yelling at the guys.
Catch I'm not on. Yelling at him. I just asked again. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I'll bring you the hose. Can y'all put like a longer hose on the fish cleaning table for me? I felt like I was milking a cow I was holding up in the air so damn high. And of course, you know how they are on there. That I mean, when you turn on, there's been guys on there, dude, before. There's pressure on those. Oh my gosh.
It's awesome.
And when the hose used to be like really long, it was, you always laugh because they would crack that thing. And then they would go to like, oh, it's opening up a spigot. Woof! And all of a sudden that hose would start whipping around, look like a rattlesnake in the woods.
Anytime somebody comes next to me when I'm cleaning the fish and I see him reach for the valve, I just step out of the way.
Because somebody's getting wet.
Yep.
But it's awesome just don't to have like that to kind get of pressure.
What's that?
It's awesome to have that kind of pressure.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, cleaning my boat.
Cleaning your boat?
There, man, it's...
No, I just don't like getting all... I mean, I'm trying to like...
I'm just giving you a hard time. Welcome back.
Thank you. You
had a long week last week.
I did. What a great, I mean, you know, again, folks, we're still dealing with the pogey situation of life, which is none.
Yeah.
Minimal.
I mean, thank goodness for this year that the jigging baits have showed back up.
Right.
So that's been their survival.
But they are not easy.
But I got to just tell you a real quick story. We had the nuts and bolts of fishing in for 4 days, and I was filming a TV show with him Wednesday and Thursday. So we jig our baits and everything's great.
You're on his boat.
I'm on his boat running his 27 Shearwater, twin 200s.
Pretty boat.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's pretty. Anyhow, it goes downhill from there. Yeah. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I get out to the south end of 9 Mile. We're the first boat there. Mm-hmm. And I look 50 feet over. There's a sailfish sleeping on top of the water with his fin out of the water.
Awesome.
And I went, no, this can't
be.
No. So Johnny, the cameraman, he's scrambling. Johnny, get the camera. And I'm, you know, I'm doing all this. So thank goodness I had thought before I left the dock because of all the cobias that we've been seeing around the local stuff.
I had a pitch rod.
Son, I hooked that cigar, about a 7-inch cigar man on that thing, and Cephas threw it literally 5 feet, 7 feet in front of his bill. It looked like a fat kid at a candy shop, son. He just rolled up there and just... Blah, blah, blah. And it's like Johnny got it all. Fish made well over 20 jumps. Fish was crazy. Wasn't a big fish. 25 pounds.
Doesn't matter.
It was like, okay, cool. So caught some kingfish, caught that. So then the next day we came inshore. He wanted to do an inshore show. I said, okay, let's flounder fish. And so anyhow, we caught some rat reds and stuff. And I don't know, we were a half hour, 40 minutes into the day. And well, boom, I get that right bite. And I went, oh, gosh. I said, Johnny, get ready. Anyhow, threw a 6-pound flounder on the bottom of his boat. And I just picked up the mic and I just went, don't drop the mic. We're done. Can't pretty much get any better than that.
No, that's awesome.
That's good stuff.
You know, and then had a bunch of charter captains in town. It's so hard because when we do this real quick, when we do this, it starts in January, and it's a series of stuff we have to get done. You never know what the weather's going to be, okay? And so I got bay boats, and that sufficed me just in case the weather was snotty, which it was on the second day.
Mm-hmm.
We all had to stay inshore. There's a couple boats that did, but it was ugly. But that was the whole reason beside of what I
But they're not part of the TV show. They're just...
No, they were. No. The second day we taped, the third and the fourth day, too, we're taping, too. I'm running the boat around with the cameraman, and I drop Johnny off on everybody's boat, and he sits on Zach's boat, Rob Bennett's boat, whoever's boat,
okay,
and films while they're fishing. As well as you would have heard them, they will call in on the channel, hey, we're hooked up to a cobia, we're doing this, and I drive Johnny over there,
yeah,
and get right next to the boat as, you know, Captain Zach Timmons was fighting a decent cobia,
yeah,
and we slid right there next to him, boat to boat.
I thought that was awesome because all the boats were right there together, and Scotty was able to just
yep,
right. I mean,
so it made it made well. I had to set that up for that, you know, and I had to make it
yeah,
a party situation.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you know, that's fine, but in the morning, let's kind of like start together because the fish are spread out. Have they been? They haven't yeah, really been that concentrated, so they kind of been spread out.
How many boats did you have?
15.
Very nice.
I was having a tough morning that morning, and they started talking about catching fish. I was like, hey, they just invited us to the party, guys.
So there is, because I look back on the film, you're in the backdrop. So whenever the show will air in the fourth quarter, which anywhere between October and December. But anyhow, yes, I already watched previews, and Seaco's got a few shots in it.
Cool.
So
that's very nice.
Anyhow, it was a great time. Had people as far away as Arizona, west, and as far north as Minnesota.
So how many guests did you have?
86.
So 86 people who are viewers of the show.
Correct.
And they booked their own places?
No, that's me. That's what I started back in January.
Well, what I'm saying, they have to pay for them.
Yeah. It's called Fishing Fest. So
right,
he sets up an amount.
I didn't realize that's how it was set up.
Yeah.
So 86 viewers of the television show.
And they might not all be fishing. And they also, there was 8 of them that brought their own boats.
Cool.
From like Georgia area or whatever that are around. And any boat that you saw, that's why we all had those red flags flying.
Yeah.
So it's something I could see mm-hmm, from a distance and in the river or wherever. And I could run to them and stuff like that and all. But it starts back in January. Thank you to the Marlin Club for setting us up for 2 nights there. Big Bill, Captain Bill Polovec, he catered it. We had barbecue on.
And he ran your boat.
And he ran my boat yep, Thursday night. And cool. And then a low country boil on Saturday. And then I took Sunday and Monday off because I needed a break.
Yeah. Yep. And your boat almost sunk at Comanche Cove.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard this.
Oh, really? You didn't hear this?
No.
Grumpy again.
Well, we're not going to – a certain organization that's at Comanche Cove, lady comes in, panics, hits the throttle, and puts her boat up on top of mine.
And she did not put it on top of yours.
She slammed me into the dock and put dock rash all down the side of my boat.
Oh, that is not true.
It's that long.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, anyway, so flounder fishing this week has been as good as I've ever seen it.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
It's agreed. It just matters
on
tide.
I know that you flounder fish in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's times when you're just like, I don't care about shrimp. I don't care about tide. You know, I'm throwing mud minnows. I'm throwing little mullet. You do that a lot in the summertime. Ricky and I, we're going offshore. I mean, if it's
yeah,
feasible to go offshore. But literally, my trip on Wednesday, I had Doug and Travis. And I said, you know, we might just want to stay inshore.
Yeah. Because it was just that snotty enough that it was going to make it uncomfortable.
Right.
And, I mean, just interjecting that real quick. The only downside this right now is there's no mud minnows.
Right.
And there is the finger mullet, I mean, are there if you have a quarter-inch mesh net. But they're just them, they're pinky long, you know.
Right.
And they don't last that long.
But I tell you what, I've had no problem catching flounder on shrimp.
No, I'm not. But what my point was getting to is I pitch a lot of docks and stuff like that this time of year for my flounder, and them stupid little 8-inch mangoes are
everywhere,
all over the place.
Yeah. We got beat up. 4 dozen.
Oh, I had 14 dozen. I think I let back 8 when I got done.
Well,
and I had 2 guys.
4 dozen, 1 guy. Well, 1 guy and 1 woman. And
gone. Quick like.
I mean,
like right now.
We
gone.
Caught 1 flounder today, yeah, and it was instant. The shrimp had hit the water
yeah,
on the jig head.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
You just feel a little something.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah,
like, dang.
Yeah. And you need them for the jetties because I caught drum out there in redfish
right,
today. But you need them. But I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you what I have started figuring this out. And I mean, gosh, it's taking this long. If you can't find these finger mullet and all that, you got to teach people. I mean, fish bites, you know, butt kickers in the chartreuse or whatever. I mean, Captain Zach Timmons is the greatest one in the world. If you really, really, really want to learn how to throw artificials, at least in the, around this area, damn, Zach is good at it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I watched him the other day. He had little kids on the boat.
Right.
10 and 12-year-old kids. And funny thing was, Dad said, I don't want to send them to camp. You got them for 3 days, for 6 hours, days in a row. So anyhow, he was throwing artificials with him. And, I mean, he had 7 or 8 or 9 flounders, you know, every day. Legal. We're talking legal.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't keep them less than 15 inches or better.
Yeah. I saw something funny today. I felt for him a little bit, but Captain Jacob Hardy was fishing the inside of the rocks right there when we finished up. And he had a little one on the front of the boat, and she was trying really hard to cast her own rig. Mm-hmm. So you got to give props for that.
Sure,
but she would swing for the fence every time, and she was trying to throw over the top of the T-top kind of on her swing.
Yeah.
And anyway, she just kept tangling up, and he took the rod from her. And he had to, you know, clear the lines because there's 4 people casting the same direction. It was just funny.
It's a charter.
It's right.
Yeah. But I got to tell, I mean, one more
thing.
She
was having a good time.
Yeah.
During this fishing fest thing, before the kickoff party, when you were saying that with the little kid, there was a bucket, and a bucket was passed around, and there was 4 Snoopy poles involved. And whoever caught the biggest fish on a Snoopy pole won. You know, won a what we call a free ride, which they're going to Crystal River in the fall. And so he gets all expense paid trip to Crystal River. The guy caught a 4.3-pound flounder on a damn Snoopy pole.
Wow.
No kidding.
Fished it the entire day for 2 days straight. Never let it down. Never put it down. Never. Every time we drove by him, he had this little Superman.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Snoopy poles don't have any drag or nothing.
They
right?
don't.
Right.
But you could doctor them up any way you could. So... One day he caught that fish, I believe, with Captain Jacob Hardy on Saturday. And Jacob was smart. Jacob put 12-pound braid on it. So it was just mono-y-mono.
You against
him. He took that 4-pound test off
because
12-pound braid is the diameter of 4-pound test.
Right.
And hell, he had a spool of it. And son, he would sling that thing. And there was 2 other rods that totally got the gears just.
Oh, yeah. Ripped out.
You know, rusted, you know, from reeling in all the little, you know, the little mangoes or whatever they were catching. But yeah, on a Snoopy pole, 4.3-pound flounder.
We got to talk about sharks a little bit here. I don't know exactly what.
That one about ate you at the North Jetty today, didn't it?
Yes, but those aren't the ones bothering me.
Okay, hold that thought. Okay. And we're going to get a scout report from Captain Leon Dana.
Boy, he looks like he's been having a good time.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And then
he needs to wipe the sunscreen.
I would love to talk about that because I had one eaten. I had a redfish eaten right next to Scott at the Jetties on Wednesday. I'm like, dadgummit, go away. 641-1010 if you want to give us a call right here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. We'll be right back.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Ricky Pupor, sitting in with Captain Kevin Favor,
and
Captain
me?
Scott Schenck, and maybe Shots. We have Leon on the phone?
Maybe. Leon!
Hollywood!
What's happening? Prime time!
Prime time!
Oh, he's
Hollywood.
Prime now. I can tell you he's back at the dock.
He's been scalloping.
I'm well into my third prime time drink right now.
Very nice. Very nice, man. Leon. So you've been there for what, 2, 3, 4 days in Steen Hatchie?
3 days now.
And how's the weather been?
It's been really nice. A light, maybe up to 8, you know, it's not even 10 miles an hour off the Gulf, not off the mainland, cool breeze. Looking at maybe between 2 and 3 p.m., a storm that comes off of shore, works its way onto the Gulf. Once that blows by, it's gone again. You just move around it. No big deal. There's no lightning in it. Get all your scalping in. Come on in about 4 o'clock-ish, maybe 4:30, because you got to get in. And if you want to clean them, you got to clean them. If you want to drop them off, you got to drop them off. got to go home, shower up, get that dinner ready, pour a couple drinks for yourself, wait for that phone call when your scallops are ready to pick up. And when the sun goes down, about that time, about 8 o'clock, 8:30, a big old storm kicks up and just
and
cools
everything time.
Off. It's
that's so weird because
time.
Every time it always starts over there in the morning. You got, you're actually, I mean, I'm just telling you, you're actually blessed right now because there's, I mean, every time I've been over there, we don't normally leave the dock till like 11 or 12 o'clock because at 6 o'clock, it's just pouring down rain already when you want to go.
I haven't left the dock before 9 o'clock every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll never forget my first scalloping adventure. I got some GPS coordinates from somebody, and I didn't really know much about. That's my first time ever using a GPS to go somewhere. I was pretty young. And borrowed boat. And we pull out of the Steinhatchee River, and there's a whole clump of boats, hundreds of boats down there. We go up there, and we're using the GPS, and we're just kind of weaving in and out of boats.
And everybody's, I could just see everybody.
Yeah, we're like, dude, we're diving here. Yeah, right.
So we pull
come on,
up,
Rodney,
and we get it right on the spot where the coordinates lined up with what he told me. And my buddy's up on the bow, and he says, "All right, you ready for me to throw the anchor?" And I said, "Yeah." And he doesn't, and he's like, I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, there's a 6-foot lemon shark. We're going somewhere else."
Sharks over there. You swim around, you'll see one or two of them.
Yep. There's sharks everywhere. No doubt about that. That's funny.
No gates, no fences.
Nope.
So did you get, I mean, did you limit out every day?
First day we did not. We went north, followed the fleet. And we were we went a couple miles to the north, and we found we were in about, I'd say, between 4 and 5 feet of water, and we were finding mediums and smalls. And with the family that we were with and our family, you know, you got all the kids, they want to grab every scallop they find, and I'm just sitting there throwing them all back because I'm like, I'm not keeping that damn thing.
Right.
You know? So I kept mediums and larges, and after day two, I spoke to a gentleman that was building a house, and he said, "Go south." Went south, and we were in 5 and 6 feet of water, and it was money. Dead nuts, money.
So you're shipping off pepperfish, right?
Big, big scallops. And we did very well every single day. We 5-gallon bucketed it up. So, I mean.
So it's 1 5-gallon bucket per boat.
Well, we had 5 people in the boat, and we and as I remember reading the paper, I'm sorry, Kevin, I don't have the paper in front of me.
Okay,
it was a 5-gallon bucket for the 5 people that we have, and I know as of July 1st, I think it does increase at that point.
Yeah, it's 2 gallons per person or 5-gallon buckets of boat, whichever's greater.
With the shells,
with the shells.
But I will tell you this.
Or a pint, or a pint of. I mean, you clean them out there too, but it's a pint then for
that's right
per person. Maybe,
there was definitely a size difference of the scallops from the north versus the south. The south was definitely larger, and we were not in shallower water. Like I said, we were in 5 and 6 feet of water, and doing very well on them in that deeper water.
Which makes a really big difference because you got to sit there and clean those things. That's not fun if you're cleaning little ones.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're saying.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
No vacuum for
you
me.
You didn't like the vacuum? Mm-mm.
Leon, have you cleaned any of them yourself, or did you take them in to have them cleaned?
Listen, Kevin, 4 and 5 drinks in, you don't want me cleaning the scallops.
No. Okay. No. Not listen, one drink. I don't want to be.
I'm just saying, when I get back to the house, Daddy is done. I put the boat away. I'm showering up. I'm relaxing, okay? That's all I'm doing.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, did you save me like 50 or 60 scallop shells?
What's that? I got you covered, Scotty. You're good
to go. Okay, because I'm coming to the house, and I'm going to show you how these are going to eat.
I sent a map to Kevin to post on the Facebook page.
Yep.
And it has a map, and it has all the locations in Steinhatchee where they clean scallops for you if you choose to do it yourself. So that's a nice bonus. So you can go to any one of these locations and get it knocked out. And very reasonable indeed. No doubt about that.
So, but, so when you say reasonable, you take them a 5-gallon bucket and
$17.
Okay, I'll do that all day long.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
With my younger years, maybe not, but now.
Right, yeah, now, yeah, yeah, for $17.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and here's a $3 tip.
Yeah, here's a tip, yeah,
that's right. That's right. You know that's why they're $17, because yeah, you know right. Nobody's asking for change.
Yeah,
I would assume, exactly. Kevin.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I'd much rather have a couple drinks than pay seven than use $17 worth of scalloping on a 5-gallon bucket. Okay.
The speed.
I'm done for the day.
Ladies do that before. Right. It's amazing how fast they can do it.
Are they using an oyster knife?
Yeah.
Yep. Huh. Okay. So, so how long do you think it takes them to do a 5-gallon bucket?
I don't know. It's been a long time.
2 hours.
Been
over less than 2 hours.
Yeah. I know it's way faster than what we could do it as a group of four. It's like, whoa.
Oh, okay. So I was thinking, I literally, when you said that they were that fast with 5-gallon bucket, I was thinking like 45 minutes. But you're saying 2 hours?
I don't think it's
less, about an hour and a half to 2 hours. I think it was closer to an hour and a half because I dropped them on. She goes, I'll call you in an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Okay, so she's doing it faster than that, probably. She's calling you back. Yeah.
I mean, by the time she probably washes them a little bit and packages them up or whatever.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, that's another 10 or 15 minutes in the game.
Dude. It's amazing to watch them, though, how fast they are.
So, Leon, when you pulled up there, you know, like when like when we drop off a deer, right?
Right.
And there's 20 deers in front of you. And so is there like all kinds of 5-gallon buckets in front of you?
There's 5-gallon buckets, there's coolers, and there's a list with a name and a phone number on it. All right, put your name and phone number on it. I'll call you when it's ready. That's exactly how it is.
Okay.
And when you get done, they're all Ziploc bagged. They're on ice. And have a nice day. Oh, would you like change for that 20? You know?
That's right. Nope, we're
but
good.
They know that this is their time of year.
Good.
I mean, it's Dinahashi, Horseshoe, whatever.
Sure.
I mean, these people have got so used to doing it. This is how they make their money. This is 3 months of...
Yeah, I
mean, I
get it.
Probably there's 6 months of their income.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you know? So, I mean, I would they probably do 10, 12 buckets a day.
Per person?
Probably more, because I was just thinking about that. $17 an hour.
Right. That's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah. You know?
That's, yeah. Sure. I would think they can clean them faster than that.
Yeah. I would too.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, no fishing rods on the boat whatsoever, Leon.
No fishing rods, no bananas allowed. Absolutely not. There was absolutely not a fishing rod in sight near my boat for the last 3 days, and there will not be a boat one tomorrow either.
So were you in the grass where you were at?
I was in the grass, and I will say, if I may give two tips for scalloping for this year that worked well for me. First of all, unusually, I found a lot of big scallops. If you find the big sand patches out there, they were surprisingly, a lot of them were lined up in the sand and around the sand patch, much more than I've seen in recent years that I've done it. And a second thing is, for those, I know there's a lot of people that have done this a lot, and I know there's some new beginners. When you are in that 5 and 6 feet of water, you look down and you see a scallop, just stop for just a moment. Please stop. And just look around for 5 or 10 seconds. Because when you see that one scallop, there's probably two more within 2 or 3 feet of that one scallop.
Oh, yeah.
So when you go down and you grab that one scallop, then you know exactly where to look for that second and that third one. Instead of you going up and coming down and going up and coming down. And when you do that, you lose track of where those other two scallops are. And, I mean, I was picking up 4 and 5 scallops at a time, and I would literally plot it out from the first dive. Okay, I get this one. There's one a little bit to my right. He's in front, and then I just keep going down the line so that you can get multiples on one dive.
Plan your dive.
That's right.
Plan my dive.
Because, obviously, I was over there in March, and the water was very clear. I mean, can you is visibility really good?
Visibility was outstanding. I mean, I can easily see 12 plus feet looking forward, looking down was just crystal clear. That was not a problem whatsoever. So, yeah, it was very,
it's so cool,
very friendly for scallop. That's for sure. And it will be tomorrow.
Did you see any flounder?
Get you.
You know, the only fish that I saw, I mean, I got to see a couple, you know, little pig fish, little spots and whatnot.
Yeah.
The only fish that caught my eye of fun was there was a remora that just kept following me around nonstop. I mean, I would stop and this remora was on me
you're
like
a shark.
Yeah. Look at that big white belly.
Yeah, if
it's a great white.
If you come up there and stuck to your belly, oh my gosh.
Look, that Joe, it's a shad.
Yeah, yeah. Or
like
a trigger fish would have just
years ago, I think it's been like 7 or 8 years ago since I've been over there. But one of those years that I went when the kids were small, we would carry a Hawaiian sling with us. That the scallops were in a big sandy area, not in the grass.
Right.
And we were gigging flounders while we were scalloping. And
way cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's cobias in there too, boys. I mean, I was over there in whatever April. I caught one on a top water plug.
Yeah, a giant one.
Yeah,
right.
16 inches.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you.
I'm just telling you, I did.
Kevin,
no, I know. It's good stuff.
Kevin, did you get my photo of the coordinates?
I did. So I've already sent those off to Tara with the Outdoor Show. Who, Tara Longerman, and she is going to have those up on Facebook on Saturday morning, and it's going to be our Ring Power Tip of the Week.
I just say that those numbers they work very well, and what I would say is from that area, just work your way out. I mean, there was not a direction, and I will say this, the depth that I worked in, a lot of the times I either use my power poles to stop us and hold us in position, or I would use my spot lock. It was fantastic. Both of those methods worked extremely well scalloping for the last 3 days.
That's great. All right, buddy, go back to it. We appreciate it, and I've never been, and I can't wait to go. What's that?
How's the room and board? You asking?
We
club,
are.
Right?
No, he's not a Steinhatch River Club. No. They couldn't get a.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought that's where he was at.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Yes,
sir. Yep. Not this buddy. Year, next year.
Exactly.
Take care, guys.
See you, prime time.
I you know, probably one of my biggest regrets, because having three kids that love the water and promised them every year, but you guys know. I mean, summertime, man, it's tough to take a week off during, you know, especially at that time when you know, you gotta make it while you can.
Yep.
And you know, if you take a week off, you have to times how many of our charters you miss. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I always did around July 4th because there was no way I was gonna play in around here anyhow.
I was so fortunate. My stepbrother bought a house when the kids were like 10 over there in Keaton Beach.
There you go.
It was perfect.
That's perfect. 641-1010 if you want to give us a call around here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. We come back, we'll talk to Captain Chip Wingo. Don't go anywhere.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Kevin Favor, Ricky, me.
That's you.
That's me.
Everybody knows who me is.
Every Thursday night from 6 to 7,
yep.
You can hear us and all that kind of stuff. It was pretty cool that Leon didn't say the whole story, but... he got over there, and there was somebody over there that was renting a boat that knows me and him, fishes with me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was.
You know, it was like, wow. So, yeah, you got. Yeah.
And we're like, Leon, do you know the guy's name?
Nope.
I'm like, come on, dude. You're better than that, you know? I mean, really.
Why would you like, oh, well, I met him.
Why can't
we
get somebody?
Met him.
I love getting shout-outs, you know? I mean, damn.
If you go up there and he goes, hey, where are you from? Well, St. Augustine, I'm a charter captain. Oh, yeah, well, I fish. Oh, well, what's your name? Yeah. Oh, hey, I'm Dave. Who the hell would not ask
Leon,
somebody's
Leon
name?
Had other things on his mind.
Yeah, he had to go scalloping.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, so we're going to bring Captain Chip Wingo in for this conversation, but the shark thing, I love talking this.
Yep.
You know, because it's I was talking to Teresa and Cody today from Ring Power. They've never well, Cody fished with me a few years ago, and we caught tarpon. Teresa's never fished with me, and sharks is always a big conversation. But they asked me a lot of questions about like when I got started and how things have changed, how the ocean has changed. You know, what kind of, you know, what do you see? I mean, we were beach fishing, okay? We had a lot of time. So in between bites.
I cannot believe that.
Yeah, I can't either. But my point is that, you know, we don't want to sound negative, because we're not being negative. We're being truthful about what we're seeing. And look, there are some things now that are better than they were 10 years ago. I still think that the kingfishing is as good as it's ever been.
Agreed.
You know, I mean, there's no doubt that in the 80s and early 90s that we had this many kingfish. We just didn't. There was a lot of commercial fishing going on at that time, and they've really got a handle on that. So the kingfishing is unbelievable, but there's so many other things that have turned.
A cycle.
That, yeah, it's you know, we always talk about it. You know, it's a cycle, but is it ever going to come back? I don't know. Sharks, Chip, are you there?
Oh yeah.
Okay, you know, sharks. What you're talking about, what I believe you're talking about, because I listened to you guys on the radio, you know, all the guys today and you guys yesterday, and it sounded like Brian Walker got 8 or 9 bites and never got a fish to the boat.
That happened to me once last year. It was eight or nine fish hooked up. Oh, yeah, you were right there that day, mm-hmm. Scotty. It's so disheartening to, especially on a day like that, when you get zero fish to the boat.
Right.
That's how I
and
ended
had nine
that day.
You had 9 kingfish on. You saw every single one of them.
Right.
And, I mean, most of it happened. Now, the funny thing, you guys bring this up. On Sunday, I was laying around the house, so I was watching a TV show. I was watching George Poveromo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was down off of Key West, kind of sort of middle grounds, catching muttons and stuff. And damned if he didn't bring the same, and I just sat there and chuckled while I'm sitting in my chair.
The
he
South
brought
Florida guys.
The same situation up and said it live on TV, which kind of, like, I went, ooh. But he made the same conversation that the sharking and the finning and all that was done back in the, when I was around, the 70s and the 80s, what I remember and all that. He said, honest to gosh, on TV, he said, something has to be done. Everybody's looking at, okay, the jewfish are bad. He said the sharks are 10 times fold, you know, over what the jewfish. I mean,
the giant Goliath grouper. Yeah.
And, you know, he was saying this on the whole show that, and we were watching it, and the guy was filming it. I mean, dude, I mean, they were just what we're dealing with the bulls or the little snaggly tooths and all that eating the muttons. And you can just, I mean, he's in 70 feet of water, dude. He's doing all he could to get the bottom fish.
Right.
If somebody has a tip on what we can do, I would love to hear that.
No, we have to just send it. Instead of them turning their eyes and their ears on the snapper thing, we need to make them understand there's other things, too, that need to be looked into.
It's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
It's not going to happen. I mean, Chip, we can sit here and talk about it. And again, I'm with you. I have seen the reports from the Keys, from Jupiter. I mean, you can come all the way up.
Sailfish in Jupiter.
Yeah,
you
can come all the way up, and everybody's like, dude, what is going on with the sharks? And to be honest with you, I thought we might get away with it this year. They hadn't been that bad.
Yes, in the beginning it was awesome. It was nice.
Yeah, in the beginning it was fantastic. You could go wherever you wanted.
When they came on, they came out
strong.
But I'm just telling you, dude, this is St. Augustine Inlet. I'm trying to release a jack or a little 17-inch redfish trying to be the conservationist.
Yeah.
Dude, you do not put your hands within 6 inches of that water if you got a fish.
Yep.
I fed them 6 cobias this week. 3 of them were short.
Really?
3 of them were legal.
Mm. See, I'm sorry. That I'd hurts, have to man. Make something happen out it, of that situation.
Yeah. We're talking about throughout the week. Yeah. So it is tough to deal with, though. It is really tough.
But we're talking about a food-valued fish compared to just a And, a traveler.
And don't think you're going to release the small cobia and just let him swim off.
Yeah.
It's right. not going to happen. No. He's getting eaten.
Right.
No, because I could tell you, just like you're saying, because of me being inshore, I have gotten, and I know Kevin's seen it, when there's a school of dolphin porpoises that will not leave you alone.
Right.
I mean, he's going to have to write me a ticket because it's going to happen. But I will not put a 16, 17-inch redfish back in the water knowing damn good and well I'm going to look up and he's going to throw it in the air. He stays in my live well. When I drive away, I throw him back out.
I would love to see that one time. I've never seen it.
Oh, I've seen it plenty of times.
Plenty of times.
Yep, plenty of times.
No, but I mean, honest to gosh, I mean, I am not going to do
Chip,
it.
Chip, have you ever had a porpoise harass you?
Yeah, I've had them. Down in the valley, we used to have it happen a lot. Leon and I both did, where they'd sit, you know, 20 yards behind you, and any fish you caught, it was his. I mean, it was like dropping a ball off your tailgate, and the dog's behind you. He's right on it.
Wow.
Yeah. I've had it.
I'll hold on to him until I drive him out in the middle of the channel, and I'll release him.
Yep.
Obviously, yep. I don't do a lot of inshore fishing, but I think it'd be cool to see once.
Yeah, but then after that, you're like, yeah. This is
same as a shark.
Yeah, same as a shark. You know, you're just you're
because he knows what he's doing. He's staying right out there on the deeper water side, and you're in there wherever.
And I thought it was interesting, Chip, that talking to Doug Wenzel, who I fish with, and he was down in Tampa, snook fishing, and I was fishing with him 2 weeks later. And he was telling me just how bad the dolphins are. I mean, they're just eating every snook they throw back, every single one of them. And finally, they have to move. And so the next weekend, doing the outdoor show with Captain Kirk, he had been down there. And while Kirk's talking about his fishing experience down there, snook fishing, Doug said, ask him if you know, that they have a problem with porpoises. And so I did in the middle of his conversation. He goes, oh, my God, we had to move three times. Wow. This is a long ways away from where Doug was fishing. Doug was fishing like Naples, and Kirk was fishing Tampa. But they've all kind of, I keep saying this, Chip, these animals become in tune with our motors and everything.
And there are so many more people fishing, many more boats on the water. It's so much easier for these fish to adapt, or sharks to adapt, dolphins to adapt to what to do to get an easy meal. Look at the tarpon at the fish cleaning table.
Exactly. Same thing.
Yep.
Same thing.
I don't know. But, I mean, something's got to meet a happy medium in the end.
Well, there's a bunch of sharks out of the jetties, I can tell you that.
I saw a giant bull shark at the jetties today.
Yeah, we were catching them on artificials yesterday on soft plastics and hard bait.
Sharks?
And sharks. They just clobbered them. We were throwing it, rolling tarpon and tarpon that we're feeding. I still haven't gotten one to a boat in the last couple of days. It's 0-for-5 on tarpon. But we did have a monster hit, and I looked at the guy and I go, good luck.
Yeah, have fun with that. Yeah. I'm going to have my dandy food sandwich
underneath the umbrella.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He did not even jump, Kevin. You know, that's the bite you get when it just bites and it starts rolling and it just rolls and keeps going. Yep. You're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So it went into like 70 feet of water, and it was a long battle until it finally broke. But, no, it's been beautiful out there. Today got a little snotty, but with the tide and the wind picking up, but the water's beautiful. But I'll trade that beautiful water for those pogies back on the beach on a heartbeat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're all with you on that. I mean, it's stressful. And I told myself today I ain't stressing it. I'm just
we're gonna roll with it, and what's gonna happen?
I have to run back and salt run and throw 30 times, and it is what it is.
Is that what you did?
I tell myself that every day, and it does never.
I know it doesn't, but today I didn't. I didn't stress it. I was just like, you know what, guys, I'm just gonna go in here and
you get to a groove of what knows, and that's the longer you do it, the more it's just gonna. You know, I mean, you got to learn to let it. It's just what it is. What it is.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't start fishing today till 9:45. I left the dock at 7:30.
Mitch was still catching bait at 9:30, 9:45, and he had a 4-hour, and he was still in there catching bait.
And he had way more bait
for
than me.
Hour and 15 minutes before my charter showed up this morning, going to look for mullet, and couldn't find any.
Yeah,
I ran. Grabbed some shrimp and said, guys, we're going to try to catch any kind of croaker. What are those fish called, Scotty? That little sand, what do you call them?
Yeah, what are those, Scotty?
We don't even know. Those silver trout or silver...
Oh,
no, not
those ones?
Silver trout. The one that looks like a
sand perch.
Yeah, no, yeah. They're did they have pink in them?
Yeah,
they're called sand jiggers.
No, I know what you're talking about. Not the sand jiggers. No, this looks like a little yellowmouth trout, and they're here in the wintertime, and they just wear you out.
Yeah, sugars. I don't know. I don't know what sugar. They got a real sharp gill plate, and they'll cut you. They only grow about 6 inches
that's
long.
That's it. I don't know
what the book name is. I don't know what the book name is either. I don't know what it is either.
I was talking about the one that looks like a sea bass, but it's skinny and longer.
Those are called a yellow. Well, there's two. It's a yellow bass. We used to call them yellow bass because they look exactly like a sea bass, but they have yellow and black in them instead of all black.
Yeah,
they're either called ledge bass or yellow bass.
By tarpon.
Oh wow!
Really, you tarpon eat them?
You know the ones I'm talking about. You won't catch them. You don't very catch them south, but if you go north up towards the hospital grounds. And all the years when I was running bait,
we're talking inshore now, around the jetties and stuff.
Yeah, but they're famous for being up north.
Okay,
and they look exactly like a black sea bass, but they're just yellow.
Except they're longer and skinnier.
They have the same bar colorings and all that. They're called yellow bass.
I did see something cool in the cove this week, a triple tail. It was all bright yellow.
Isn't that cool?
Really? You
know, 3 inches long, 2 inches long.
You lay there on top of the water.
Just so cool to see it.
Yeah, I know it. You know what I saw today, Chip? I saw a frigate bird.
Wow. Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
A frigate bird.
Yes.
I don't know that I've ever seen
one up here. And that's probably and I literally stopped because he was circling.
Mice.
Huh?
Yeah.
Mice. Yes. Yeah.
And you know, my Teresa and Cody were fishing, like, "Is this where we're fishing?" I'm like, No, that's a frigate bird. You know, they're like that. What does that mean? I'm like, dude, I mean, you know, frigate birds are cool. And he was low enough where she got some good pictures of him and stuff, you know. And he was over a school of bonita.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So,
see, that's what's so cool about, you know, like you said before, Stewart and south of there.
Yeah.
Dude, that's all you got. I mean, that's how you go fishing.
Yeah, you find frigate birds.
You find frigate birds. Yeah. I mean, they don't do a dadgum thing until they find a frigate bird. Then they fish.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Are they... Because, Chip, you've been down there way more than us, right?
Where's that?
South Florida.
Or the Bahamas.
So what is the significance of a frigate bird?
When I see a frigate bird, I follow them. They're usually following billfish. They're following mahi, you know, the dolphin. I mean, they're following fish to wait for them to blow those blow those flying fish out of the water, and they'll swoop down and snag them. It's
because
just amazing.
They can't touch
they'll sit
the
there. You can see one troll by him, and boom, you'll pick up a dolphin.
Yeah. I did. I stopped the troll.
Yeah.
I did. You think I did? And it was interesting because there was a big school of bonita there, and he just kept circling and kind of stayed with us.
I mean,
if you've never seen that video on YouTube of the frigate birds working with the mahis. That is the most it's whoever videoed that.
How they get those videos are amazing. I know what you're talking about.
Because you can't get right on top of it.
Right.
So whatever zoom lens he's got, he's a couple hundred yards away. I mean, he's not like right there on him.
Epic video footage.
Have you guys ever seen the video of the trevallies?
Yes.
In Australia? How they get that is beyond me.
It's awesome.
Eating the birds out of the air.
Yes, they're good. But they got cameras under the water.
Yep.
That shows what the fish are looking at. How does that happen?
It's awesome.
It is awesome. It is an incredible
time in the water.
Yeah,
that's the only bird. You know that that's the only bird that doesn't land, right?
That's right. He can't touch the water.
He cannot touch the water, and they never see land, from what I understand.
They never see land.
A frigate.
Okay.
A frigate. I mean, he might.
Yes.
Stand on a log or stand on something.
I don't think they stop. I don't know.
I thought they can't touch the water. They have to follow the
All right, we're long. We got a lot of airtime there. We got to go, Chip.
See you guys.
See you, buddy. Chip. Bye.
Yeah, that's what you pay the producer for.
That's right.
Let you know what's
Let
going
you know
on.
In your ear. Yeah, like, shut up.
We'll be right back with the Moe Southwest Girl Fishing Forecast.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power on 1010XL.
Yeah, totally totally lost our break. We got a frigate bird.
Sharks!
Isn't
frigate
it
birds.
Weird the things that we get excited about? You know, really? You saw a frigate bird?
Oh, dude,
yeah.
They're great.
But that's why we all do this, is those exciting little
things. Yeah. When I came off plane, they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, a frigate bird. They're like, what the hell does that mean? You know, I mean, yeah, it's a frigate bird. Yeah. I mean, I've seen like two or three of them in my life. You know?
Right.
So real quick, at least they changed the forecast a little bit for tonight. Southeast winds 10 to 15 becoming 5 towards daybreak.
Okay.
So that's good because they were calling for 10 to 15 throughout the night and then to go to 15 to 20 tomorrow.
And then like showers kind of on and off.
Yeah. South winds 10 to 15 tomorrow becoming southeast 15 to 20. Chance of likely and slight chance of thunderstorms. So I told my guys, look at the radar tomorrow.
That's all we're doing. That's all I'm doing mine tomorrow, too.
Yep. For the holiday weekend, Saturday, south winds 10 to 15, 3 to 4. Sunday, south winds 10 to 15, 3 to 4. Monday, south winds 10 to 15, 2 to 3. Tuesday, south winds 10 to 15, 3 to 4. That is the recipe for a thermocline.
Exactly. 100%.
Yep.
C1 in about a week and a half.
Yep. No question that you talk south-southwest winds every day, then it's going to
Thursday we'll be complaining.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
Because it'll be a cobia bite.
There will be a serious cobia bite. Folks, make sure you join us for the Nimnik Outdoor Show on Saturday morning. Myself, Captain Kirk Waltz, Jeff Loggeman will all be there, and it should be exciting. We'll talk more about scalloping.
Stay safe on the holiday weekend, guys.
Yes.
Yep. Captain Scott Shank, Captain Ricky Kapoor, I'm Captain Kevin Favor. Y'all have a great holiday. See ya.
See ya.